Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of KHOI Community Radio's Capital Week, your window on the world of Iowa politics, where we explore and analyze who's been making news in and around the state capital, what that news is, and what it all means. I'm Dennis Hart, joined as always by my partner in politics, Laura Bellin of the blog site Bleeding Heartland. Welcome again, Laura.
Good to be here, Dennis.
We have so much to talk about as usual tonight. The state legislature giving final approval to Governor Reynolds' massive state reorganization bill and a bathroom bill. Lots of new Des Moines Register polls to digest, but we are going to begin tonight with former President Donald Trump, who, yes, came to Iowa last week to campaign ahead of next year's GOP caucuses here, but that's not the biggest story involving him as we go live on this Monday night. The biggest story is, will he be arrested tomorrow, Tuesday, or perhaps Wednesday, or sometime this week because of payments he made to a porn star? Laura, let's start there. It's unforgettable.
Yeah, so this is one of several different cases involving Donald Trump that's been percolating for a while. And this one relates to Stormy Daniels. Trump's former attorney, Michael Cohen, has admitted that he made payments to Stormy Daniels to keep this story quiet shortly before the 2016 presidential election, that Trump and Stormy Daniels had been sexually intimate. So this has been, you remember, when Donald Trump was president, the Justice Department had a policy that a sitting president couldn't be indicted. So everything, criminal investigations involving Trump, were on hold. But this would not be unprecedented for a former candidate to be prosecuted over a campaign finance violation, but it would be unprecedented in the sense that Donald Trump is now a presidential candidate again for the 2024 nomination.
Laura, in the 112 episodes of this broadcast, including tonight, I don't know that we've ever used the terms sexually intimate until tonight. And here it is, talking about a former president of this country. A former president or a sitting president has never been arrested. This would certainly set people off. In fact, on his social media page this past weekend, he called on people, and these were all in capital letters, protest, take our nation back. Disturbing echoes, perhaps, of January 6, 2021.
And yes, I saw a lot of speculation that, yes, this is what he's trying to do. He's trying to get some kind of civil unrest to happen. And by the way, officials have not confirmed that any indictment is imminent or that he would be arrested on Tuesday. So it's not clear where he got that date. But it could be that Donald Trump was thinking that if there's some big protest on Tuesday, then possibly it could delay things. It could delay a possible indictment, or maybe they wouldn't pursue this case in the end. So not clear. But yes, there are many people worried about possible civil unrest and violence. And that is something that it's a line, I think, that's going to be difficult for some of the other Republican candidates to navigate.
During his speech in Davenport last Monday night, the crowd gave Trump several standing ovations. He said so many things. Among them, he'd cut federal funding for schools and programs that promote critical race theory. He promised to cut funding for schools that have vaccine requirements. He called for, and this was perhaps the strangest of all, the direct election of school principals by parents. He was out there, and he praised Governor Reynolds for what she's done with the private school scholarship program.
Well, one thing about Donald Trump is he rarely sticks to a script. I think other than his State of the Union addresses, he was rarely reading from any speech. And it was that way in Davenport, or at least it seemed to be to people who were watching, that he tends to just move from topic to topic. And sometimes it seems there's an interplay with a crowd. The New York Times reporter Shane Goldmacher commented that sometimes it seems like Trump is trying out lines and then he's thinking out loud saying, oh, that's important to you. You like that. You look at the hand I got for that, when he mentioned CRT and transgender people. So it's interesting. He seems to be trying out a lot of lines. Again, he's still trying out nicknames for Ron DeSantis and seeing what will stick.
Right. He did mention DeSantis, but let's move on to what happened on Saturday in Iowa. That's where the former vice president came again to Iowa for a foreign policy forum in Des Moines, but that made no news. What made news was what he said about the Trump possible indictment. He said it appears to be a politically motivated prosecution of the former president, and that seems to be the cry among all Republicans who are in power right now. In the last 48 hours, they've coalesced around Mr. Trump, claiming it's a political prosecution.
Well, I think this is just going to be very difficult for Mike Pence. As you may remember, a couple of weeks ago, he spoke to the Gridiron Club in Washington, D.C., and he mentioned that he thinks that Trump has a lot to answer for calling for violence on January 6th. But then when he comes in his campaigning among Republican primary voters or caucus goers, who are many of them favorably disposed to Trump, you hear a different message from him. And I just think it's going to be very difficult. I mean, when he is trying to say, well, we need to move forward, we need to move beyond Trump. But on the other hand, he's agreeing that any criminal investigation into Trump must be politically motivated. I just don't know what lane, you know, how many Republican voters are going to be receptive to that kind of a message.
You and I have watched politics around Iowa and around the country for a lot of years. My guess is, my analysis would be tonight on this Monday night, if Trump is indeed indicted, it's only going to help him with his core Republican voters.
I think so. And last week, I mean, these criminal investigations are not new. There's a grand jury has been convened in Georgia related to the alleged efforts to overturn the result of the 2020 election in Georgia. And this is all known, right? It's not a surprise to anyone. And yet many, many politicians, not just Governor Kim Reynolds, but many members of the legislature were there to be with Trump in Davenport. He acknowledged lots of them in the crowd. I mean, certainly Republicans don't feel that they need to distance themselves from Trump in any way. I would say quite the opposite.
Let's talk about another vice president, the current vice president, Kamala Harris. She came to Iowa last week. Yes, it was a big week. And she was talking about abortion. She said, in her words, Iowa is on the front line in the national fight for reproductive rights, part of a series of speeches she's been making around the country.
Yes. And this I learned today from the Democratic press availability that Democrats didn't have a lot of advance warning that this visit was coming last week. And if you were wondering, why would the vice president come to Iowa when it seems like this administration is not that focused on Iowa? I think that the main reason that the vice president was in Iowa was that Howard University was in the NCAA basketball tournament. They had a game scheduled in Des Moines, and she is a Howard alum. And so she wanted to come and congratulate the team and be with them. Honestly, I think that that was probably more of the reason that she came to Des Moines. And then they convened this panel to discuss about reproductive rights issues, which certainly that is that's a topic that she's speaking on all over the country. And it's something that's been important to her throughout her career. But in terms of why did she give the speech in Des Moines, I think that that was more related to the basketball tournament than anything else.
Stick with us in a couple of minutes. We're going to have another reason why Democrats should not focus on Iowa next year. But first, State House Democrats introduced a reproductive freedom legislative package today with four main components. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so this is something, I mean, the Democrats don't control the legislative agenda. And they were very clear today, the House Minority Leader Jennifer Confers, that they don't have any illusions that Republicans will take up these bills. But she said, just regardless of what the legislative calendar says, we want Iowans to know that these are issues we think are important. And this is something that Democrats campaigned on last year. They said this was going to be part of their agenda, and that's why they introduced this package. So the four main parts, one would be a state constitutional amendment guaranteeing reproductive rights, including the right to an abortion, but also birth control and fertility treatments are in there as well. This is modeled on a referendum that Michigan voters approved in November. Also, over-the-counter birth control accessible through a pharmacist, that the Democrats were saying that's very important, especially in rural Iowa, where we've had some hospitals close, a shortage of healthcare providers, and often the pharmacist is the most accessible healthcare provider. Also, expanding Medicaid postpartum coverage to 12 months. Right now, Iowans who give birth just have 60 days of guaranteed Medicaid coverage, but in many states, it's been extended to 12 months. And finally, restoring a family planning program that for many years, Iowa used a Medicaid waiver for family planning where the federal government picked up 90% of the cost. And the Republican trifecta ended that in 2017 as a way of defunding Planned Parenthood. And so this is something Democrats want to bring back.
So while this was introduced in the state house, in the U.S. Senate, Republican U.S. Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa is the lead sponsor of a bill that would block a new Pentagon policy designed to expand service members' access to abortion care.
Yes, I thought this was interesting in a few ways. First of all, the backdrop to this is that after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, the Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin ordered the Defense Department to start looking at ways to guarantee access to reproductive health care, and not just abortion, but also other things like fertility care. But obviously, abortion was the main impetus for this. And so this is a policy that was announced in February, and it grew out of that effort. And the idea is that any military service members who are stationed in states that have either completely banned or almost completely banned abortion, they would not be able to use their military health care to pay for the abortion, because that is not allowed under federal law. But they would be able to take administrative leave, and they would be able to use travel, get some travel expenses for themselves and a family member reimbursed. They could take up to 21 days of leave if they had to travel to another state to get care. Again, not only abortion, it could be things like IVF treatments, fertility treatments. But in any case, the main reason why this policy was introduced is abortion. And of course, we know that abortion is still legal in Iowa up to 20 weeks. But many Iowans who are active duty service members are stationed in places like Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Florida, places that have more restrictive abortion regimes. And so that's the idea behind the policy. Joni Ernst has introduced this bill. 35 Republicans are co-sponsoring it. By the way, not Senator Chuck Grassley, which I thought was interesting. And this is not going to go anywhere in a Democratic-controlled U.S. Senate, but the Republicans, if they take control of the U.S. Senate after 2024, this is a signal, a clear signal that this is the direction they would be headed.
And as I promised just a couple of minutes ago, here's the reason why Democrats probably should not focus on Iowa in next year's elections, at least national Democrats. A new Iowa poll out today, Monday, shows that 64%, 2 out of 3 Iowans, do not approve of the job President Biden is doing. In other words, Joe, don't book any flights into Ottumwa, Davenport, Des Moines, Sioux City. Stay away.
I mean, this is, it does emphasize that Joe Biden is not popular in Iowa. He hasn't been popular for most of his presidency. I was a little surprised by the low number. Nationally, the president's approval rating has bumped up a little bit in the last few months. And so I would have expected it to be at least stable. It was 35% in the October poll that the Des Moines Register did, or that Ann Seltzer did for the Des Moines Register. So 30% is a pretty low number, and independents are driving that. The Democratic approval number is just under 80%. So that is consistent with what we see in other states. And again, that doesn't necessarily mean that 20% of Democrats wouldn't vote for Joe Biden. It just means there are a lot of Democrats who also aren't happy with the way things are going in the administration. But as you say, it does show that Iowa is not really a battleground state. And that's one reason why the DNC has taken Iowa off of the early state nominating calendar, and one reason why you're not likely to see Joe Biden campaigning here for reelection.
All right, let's go to the state legislature. Busy week last week. Governor Reynolds, boy, she piled up some more victories. The House gave its approval to her massive 1,500-page bill to reorganize the state government. Hardly, I believe there was one amendment to it, but it just flew through.
Yeah, this was a surprise because the Senate approved this bill very quickly. There was an amendment that made mostly technical changes. There was one substantive change related to the Iowa School for the Deaf that restored language in the code that said the legislature would have to give its approval to close the Iowa School for the Deaf. And then there was another change on the Senate side where they took out a provision that would have changed the number of senators it takes to confirm a nominee of the governor. But otherwise, basically approved by the Senate in the same version that the governor introduced it. But in the House, it was expected, not just by Democrats, but some stakeholders who were opposing certain portions of the bill. They had an expectation that the House was going to seriously consider some substantive amendments, and that didn't happen. So it ended up moving very quickly through the House. Democrats proposed more than a dozen amendments. A bunch of those amendments did get a handful of Republican votes, but they all went down, and 5 Republicans voted against it, but it still passed on a mostly party line vote. And it has not officially been sent to the governor yet. Sometimes that process can take a few days. So I'm not sure exactly when she's going to sign it, but certainly the governor will sign this bill. We'll probably be talking about this in a lot of future shows, because this is going to affect the operation of many areas of state government.
Here's another one we're going to be talking about in future shows. The House gave its final approval to a bill that would keep transgender students from using restrooms and locker rooms that do not align with their sex at birth. The bill headed to Governor Reynolds, or perhaps it's going to be signed into law. Who would have guessed we'd be talking about in 2023 a bathroom bill, but here we are.
Well, and it's interesting because these bathroom bills were introduced year after year, never advanced in the Iowa House or Senate, and a lot has changed in the past couple of years. And I think that it's part of a national trend you see in Republican-controlled states. A number of them have passed bills like this or bills like the ban on gender-affirming care for Iowans under age 18. I checked again today, the legislative website, and these bills, although they were fast-tracked, they have not been sent to the governor. So I'm not sure what is going on with the timing there. During the legislative session, whenever a bill is sent to the governor, she has 3 days to either sign it or veto it. So sometimes there's a delay because there might be a specific day that she's planning to sign it. It's also possible that the governor is waiting for some other bill to be approved so that she can sign it at the same time as these. Not sure what's happening with that. But usually when a bill is fast-tracked, it gets sent to the governor quickly, and that hasn't happened with these bills. Now, in both of these bills that target transgender Iowans, there will be litigation. So I don't know that these laws will actually go into effect right away. Other states have had similar laws enjoined while lawsuits work their way through the courts.
All right, let's take a breath. It's 15 and a half after the hour, wherever you're listening to us, and you're in tune with KHOI Radio's Capital Week. We probably ought to call this Action News Capital Week. We're going so fast because there's so much to talk about. Your one-stop source for everything political going on in Iowa. I'm Dennis Hart. I'm your Action News anchorman, Dennis Hart, with Laura Bellin. And we're here every week at this time to talk politics, Iowa style, and how it's affecting all of us. Where's our weather person, Laura? Oh, no, that's right. We don't have a weather person over here. All right. Senate passed a bill last week, state Senate, that would make birth control pills, contraceptive patches, and vaginal rings available to Iowans without a prescription. Now, this is interesting.
It was interesting in a few ways. First of all, the governor did introduce, as part of a wide-ranging healthcare bill, she did have a provision that would include over-the-counter birth control, hormonal birth control. And it, for some reason, when the Senate approved her bill, they took that out of it, when the Senate committee approved her healthcare bill. And I wasn't sure why, because in 2019, the Republican-controlled Iowa Senate did approve an over-the-counter birth control bill that year it didn't get through the Iowa House. So that's why we're still talking about it. But it wasn't clear to me why that got taken out of the governor's bill. And then the bill that was brought to the floor last week had to do with epinephrine shots. And all of a sudden there's a manager's amendment and it includes this over-the-counter birth control. So that was a bit unexpected. It did pass by a very large majority, 45-3. There were three Republicans opposing it. And now I'm not sure when it goes to the House, whether the House is going to approve this standalone bill or whether the House is just going to approve the governor's bill that contains this over-the-counter birth control package and send it back to the Senate. Not clear what's going on there.
All right. The Senate also, the Ways and Means Committee last week, advanced legislation to reduce and eventually get rid of Iowa's income tax. We are already on a path to have a flat tax in a few years. This would eventually get rid of everything.
And I think this was a response mainly to the governor saying a few weeks ago that she's interested in somehow getting Iowa on a path of eliminating the personal income tax by the end of this term, 2026. So that, I think, would be very difficult to accomplish. As you mentioned, the bill that was passed last year that creates a flat income tax, that is going to be gradually phased in. About half of all of Iowa state revenue comes through income tax. So I'm just not sure how the numbers are going to add up. This idea of this bill that it was through committee that you mentioned, this would lower the income tax again to 2.5%. And then starting in 2030, provided that there's enough revenue, revenues are hitting certain targets, it would keep lowering the income tax. But I'm just not sure. I've been talking to people who know more about the state budget than I do. And most states that don't have an income tax have either a very large tourism industry or they have some kind of major fossil fuel extraction and they get a lot of revenue from that. So really not clear how Iowa could make this work, but it's something clearly Republicans are interested in having this conversation.
So the Des Moines Register teed this one up and the results were, I think, what you would expect. They asked last week in another new poll whether Iowans would, it involved income and property taxes, would majorities favor cutting property taxes and gradually getting rid of the state's individual income tax? No surprise here. Majority of people say, sure, let's do that.
Well, these poll questions on issues are always interesting to me. A lot depends on how you word the question. And those were worded in a very broad way, like, would you support gradually reducing the state income tax until it is eliminated? And yes, I mean, a majority says I'm for that. I mean, it doesn't really present people with the trade-offs, like, would you support reducing the state's individual income tax if that meant that the state couldn't fund this, that, or the other thing, which is more like how the conversation would be happening in the legislature. But in any case, yes, majorities do support cutting property taxes and majorities support reducing the income tax. Often those things are in opposition to each other. I mean, when the income tax is lowered, sometimes other taxes are increased to make up the lost revenue. But in any case, yes, that is what the poll showed.
And there were some other new polls. Let's get into them. There was a poll on legislation that would restrict the use of food assistance benefits. The poll showed most Iowans would approve that.
Well, okay. This one, I actually did think that the poll question wording was problematic because the bill, the main part of the bill is creating a new asset test for federal food assistance that would be pretty strict, that a lot of Iowans who currently receive food assistance would not qualify. So, I mean, I think that's the core part of the bill that has passed committee in both chambers. The House bill has an extra provision that says people wouldn't be able to use their federal food assistance to buy pop or candy. And so that was the question that the Register asked in their poll. But that is not really the core of the bill, and that might not even end up being in the final bill. And also, it's questionable whether the federal government would approve that if it were passed. The state of Maine tried to pass something similar to that, and the USDA, this was under the Trump administration, but the USDA shot that down. So they administer the food assistance program. So not really sure. But in any case, yes, the 57% of Iowa adults said that they would favor restricting people on food assistance from using that money to buy a pop or candy.
Here's the most interesting poll, I thought, of the week. We have been talking about for weeks here that the state legislature passed and the governor signed into law a private school scholarship program, taking public money for private school scholarships. Now the Register asks people, do you support or oppose the governor's private school scholarship law? So the legislature passes this, the governor signs it, but 62% say they oppose it. That's interesting.
This was really interesting because the Register has polled this question before about, do you support using public funds for private schools? And they have found that generally a slim majority opposes, and it's not an overwhelming majority. And this one was much stronger. I mean, it was almost 2-1, 62% oppose, only 34% support. Of course, the issue has been talked about much more this year because the governor made it the centerpiece of her condition of the state address. And then it took up a lot of the legislature's energy in January. So I thought it was very interesting to me that even among the Republican respondents, a slim majority don't support this idea. And independents and Democrats really don't support the idea. And I thought that was interesting. As we already mentioned, this is a poll where Joe Biden had a very low approval rating. So you can't say, oh, well, this is a skewed Democratic poll sample or something. So it is going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Iowans certainly are not inclined to support this, and it hasn't been fully implemented yet.
And with all this going on in the legislature, there was a poll last week by the Des Moines Register about whether Iowans approve of the job overall the legislature is doing it. Well, yes, they do, but it's not a majority.
That's right. It's 48% approval, 36% disapproval, and 16% not sure. And that's pretty expected. I think that a lot of Iowans really aren't sure what the legislature does. I mean, generally, what a politician likes their approval rating to be above 50. Sorry, that's Sammy barking as my son walks through the door. I mean, politicians prefer to have approval ratings above 50, but the legislature's approval is in positive territory with 48% supporting and only 36% disapproving of their work.
Samuel is the dog in your household. He has not made an appearance in months now, so we're happy.
It's been a long time.
Yes. There was another new Register poll. Let's talk about this one. Let's move on down here to carbon capture pipelines. And this is so interesting here. Because, as you know, three companies they want to build carbon capture pipelines. Two of them want to use eminent domain, and they're well along in trying to get landowners to agree to it before they have to use eminent domain. But this poll says 78% of Iowans oppose companies using eminent domain. That is really high.
Yeah, that was very, very high. Only 15% said they're in favor, 7% are unsure. So, I mean, that the fact that only 7% were not sure, I thought was interesting because it shows that this is a pretty salient issue for people, that there aren't a lot of people who haven't heard enough about this to have an opinion, right? And 78%, it was a very strong majority of Republicans, Democrats, and independents who all said they oppose this, even whether you're rural residents, urban residents, a younger respondents, older respondents. So this is interesting. And I think that this week, the legislature probably will vote, at least the Iowa House will vote on an eminent domain bill. And I think that this increases the chance that if it comes to the floor of the Iowa House, that bill will pass.
What about the Senate?
I don't think it's going to go anywhere in the Senate. Nothing I've heard has changed my opinion that the Senate is just going to let this quietly die rather than voting it down.
All right. Also in the House last week, there was a vote on a bill that was expected to be non-controversial. It was a bipartisan pharmacy bill that turned out to be, well, partisan.
This was really interesting. It wasn't overwhelmingly partisan, but many bills that the legislature passes are move unanimously or almost unanimously, and you just don't hear about them because they're not controversial. And this was one example where this is updating the code on the Board of Pharmacy. The floor manager was explaining that this code hasn't been updated in a long time, and they're trying to bring it into line with the pharmacist's scope of practice. And the Democrat who worked on the bill, John Forbes, is himself a pharmacist, has been a practicing pharmacist for more than 40 years. He said, this is really important. It reflects what pharmacists do. And it, this gives the Board of Pharmacy the power to investigate if something is done improperly. And then another Democrat who is a doctor spoke and said, this is a great bill because we really need pharmacists to be able to do basic things like refill prescriptions if it's an emergency and they can't reach the medical provider, things like that. And then a newly elected Republican, Brad Sherman, got up and started giving a long speech about how he thought the Board of Pharmacy maybe needed to hear a message, maybe had been intimidated. He was unhappy about what happened with ivermectin during the COVID pandemic. He thought that the Board of Pharmacy was discouraging individual pharmacists from filling prescriptions for ivermectin. And he said, well, I'm not sure what button I'm going to push, but I just feel like the Board of Pharmacy needs to get a message. And he and nine other Republicans ended up voting against this bill. So it was just usually these non-controversial bills pass unanimously. So suddenly to have 10 people vote against it, I mean, I don't know. It was one of those strange moments in a long week of watching them debate a lot of bills.
3 minutes left. Let's go fast. Legislation that might limit the acquisition of new public lands, which had been approved by the Senate, did not advance from a House subcommittee hearing last week. But now there's word this Monday afternoon it could advance.
It could. And this is very controversial. They've debated similar bills. They've considered legislation before that would limit land acquisition. And this is not very popular. I mean, hundreds of people came to the Capitol a few years ago to protest a similar bill. And when the floor manager in the Senate describing this bill, she said, this isn't designed to ban new acquisitions of public land. The point is just to make sure that the DNR focuses on maintaining what we have and making sure that the trails and the parks that we have are in good shape. But the Democrats expressed a lot of concern about some of the language in this bill. So I'm not sure where it's going to go in the House, but it does definitely seem to be a live round. But this has been a thorny issue for this Republican trifecta before.
Very quickly, the Board of Regents ordered public universities to pause new diversity programs.
Yes, I think that the idea, there's a bill moving through the Iowa House, it's through committee. The idea is that the state universities would be banned from spending any money on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And the Board of Regents, which is the governing body of the three state universities, said, hang on a second, they do not support that bill. But they said, we're just going to review, we're not going to expand any diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. We're going to see what's going on. And I think that the idea was to discourage the legislature from passing this bill. I don't know whether that will be successful because the bill's manager, Taylor Collins, in the Iowa House, he's still interested, but he's just a first-term Republican. So this is something that leadership will decide. But yeah, this review will probably hear later this year what the regents think about it. And by the way, everybody on the Board of Regents was appointed by either Governor Terry Branstad or Governor Kim Reynolds. So this is not a liberal governing body.
1 minute, very quickly. Iowa Republican U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley is walking again, and former Congresswoman Pat Schroeder passed away.
Yes, there was a report in Politico today about how there have been a number of absences in the U.S. Senate, but they did mention that although Chuck Grassley did have surgery in January on his hip, he has not missed any votes. He hasn't missed any votes in the Senate since he had COVID in late 2020. He was using a wheelchair soon after his surgery, but now he's walking with a cane. And as you mentioned, Pat Schroeder, she was very famous. She was in the 1970s and 80s. She was the first woman elected to Congress from Colorado. She was involved in many important pieces pieces of legislation, but she is also one of the most famous graduates of Des Moines Roosevelt High School. She grew up in Iowa, and so Iowans often claim her as one of ours.
And very quickly, what are you watching this week?
Oh, just lots of bills. I want to see if the trucking liability bill, restriction bill comes up in the House. I want to see if an eminent domain bill comes up in the Iowa House. And the Senate hasn't published their calendar, so I'm not clear. There are a lot of bills that the House approved before the first funnel. There are now only 2 weeks left to get those through a committee in the other chamber to make sure they survive the second funnel. So I just have my eye on a lot of bills.
That is it. We are out of time. Good night, Laura.
Good to be here.
You have been listening to Action News. I mean Capital Week on KHOI Community Radio. You're listening Post for Politics, Iowa style. A reminder that the views and opinions expressed here did not necessarily reflect the opinions of KHOI or its staff. We'll be back next week at the same time, we promise. Until then, thank you so much for your time, and you have a safe, happy, and healthy week.